This episode of the Real Fit Podcast is brought to you by the Real Nourished newsletter. Real Nourished, reinventing your relationship with food, is for you if you are ready to stop micromanaging your food and exercise so you can start fully showing up to your life. Each biweekly issue features evidence-based tools that will help reduce your food-related anxiety, improve your body image, and help you embrace exercise as a form of nourishment, not punishment. When you subscribe, you'll get my free guide, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. To get in on it, just click on the link in the show notes or visit my website, pam-more.com. How can this chat thing know what I should eat better than I do? Sort of hit me all at once. I live in this body. I get to make decisions about my body. I am done letting an app or a magazine article or a website or a guru or anybody make any more decisions about when I'm going to eat, what I'm going to eat, how much I'm going to eat. Welcome to the Real Fit Podcast, featuring conversations with women athletes about body image, confidence, enoughness, and so much more. This is a show for any woman who has ever asked herself, am I enough? In a world that's trying to tell us that we're not good enough, we're not thin enough, we're not successful enough, not fast enough, not strong enough, I am here to tell you that you are enough just as you are. And my goal is to share stories and insights that will inspire you and let you know you're not alone. I'm your host, Pam Moore. I'm an occupational therapist turned freelance journalist with bylines in outlets including The Washington Post, Time, The Guardian, Runner's World, Self Magazine, Bicycling, Outside, and many others. I'm also a two-time Ironman finisher, a six-time marathoner, a mom of two, and an intuitive eating coach. I'm super excited to share today's episode with you. Before we dive in, I have a quick request. If you have been enjoying this podcast, or if you end up enjoying this particular episode, it would mean so much to me if you haven't already, if you would subscribe to this podcast or follow it, rate it and review it. That helps other people find it, helps me spread that message that you're already enough. Or if you're inclined, share the episode on social media. If you do, I would love if you would tag me. My handle on Instagram is at PamMoore303. On Twitter, I'm at PamMooreWriter. With no further ado, let's do this thing. Hey, and welcome back to the Real Fit Podcast. Or if you're new here, welcome, period. This is your host, Pam Moore. What I am sharing today should not be construed as personalized medical advice. This is the first of a series all about intuitive eating, and I'm going to dive into everything that I'm talking about today in a lot more detail. But for today, I want to give you a broad overview of what intuitive eating is and what it isn't. If you follow me on social media, you might know that I recently earned my certification as an intuitive eating counselor. But 10 years before all that, I first heard about intuitive eating through a blog. Do you remember blogs? Way before Instagram and before everybody had Facebook on their phones, before we had TikTok, I was reading a blog by Charlotte Hilton Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N. She is at Charlotte G-F-E on Instagram, where I still follow her. She was and still is a health and fitness journalist. She was writing for these women's magazines, all these articles that I was thinking, I kind of want to be writing stuff like this. And I didn't even know the first thing about how I would do that. I was still working as an occupational therapist. I was just starting to explore freelance writing, but I was mainly writing about parenting, more or less by default, and mostly for websites that barely paid me, websites you've probably never heard of. But I don't think I even allowed myself to dream that someday I might be writing health and fitness articles for a national audience. So here I am, kind of fangirling over Charlotte Hilton Anderson, and she mentioned intuitive eating. She was writing openly about her experience with an eating disorder. My understanding of intuitive eating at that point was so limited, but if I remember correctly, I thought, okay, intuitive eating is a style of eating that doesn't have any rules or structure. Intuitive eating, it sounds like you eat what you want. And I thought, well, that might be perfect for someone like Charlotte Hilton Anderson, because after all, you know, she'd been diagnosed with an eating disorder. I hadn't, but I was fully disordered with my eating. Although I did not have a diagnosed eating disorder, my eating was very disordered. All my habits and thoughts and beliefs around food and exercise and my body, lots of weighing myself, body checking in the mirror, checking what clothes fit, checking how clothes looked on me, allowing myself certain foods only if I had done a certain amount or type of exercise, or only if I was planning to do a certain amount or type of exercise. I never called what I was doing a diet. It was a healthy lifestyle. But the truth was, I wasn't really looking for optimum health. I could hide behind that, but I was looking for weight loss. I believed I was supposed to look a certain way, especially as an athlete. I thought athletes looked one way. They have visible abdominal muscles. They have toned biceps and triceps. And if I wanted to fully embody being an athlete, then I thought if I could just manipulate my body hard enough, I could do it. If I wasn't so weak and so lazy, I could do it. What would end up happening was that I would spend the whole week, Monday through Friday, eating foods that I thought I should eat. I should eat the salad. I should eat the baked sweet potato instead of the French fries. I should eat. Every decision was filtered through this lens of what I should eat or what I was felt I was allowed or entitled to eat because I had worked out enough. I put enough in air quotes. So after doing this all week, many, many weeks on a Friday night, I'd have a glass of wine, have a couple glasses of wine, get a little tipsy, raid the pantry. Meanwhile, my husband would be in the most gentle way possible. He would say things like, "Are you sure you want to, eat that?" Not because he was judging my food choices, but because he knows me well enough to know, no, when I wasn't tipsy anymore in the morning, when I was sober and bloated and tired and exhausted and feeling bad about myself, but also just mentally like, damn it, I messed up again. And I would vow to be good again in air quotes. And I thought that I was going nuts around food and not able to control my urges around food because I had issues, because I wasn't disciplined, because I was weak, because I didn't want the body that I wanted badly enough. But the real issue was there was no issue. My biology was responding in the way that biology responds. The natural consequence of restricting food, whether you are actually limiting your intake or whether you're mentally restricting by associating certain types or amounts of foods with a lot of guilt or classifying them as good or bad and feeling bad about yourself when you do eat them, the natural consequences of those behaviors is binging. I remember sitting around my parents' kitchen table late at night. It was the night of my bridal shower, and it was me and my mom and my sister, one of my old, really, really dear friends. And while everyone was getting into these fancy chocolates, I was crunching on a head of romaine lettuce. I thought it was funny at the time. Everyone was enjoying chocolate, and I was sitting there with lettuce. And I just think it is sad how much of my energy and my time, my resources, my mental real estate I devoted to this quest to shrink my body. And I can honestly say I did not really know how much mental energy I was devoting to all of that until I finally let it go. When I started to realize all my food rules that I thought were keeping me from going off the rails, so to speak, when I realized that those rules, not a diet, of course, but rules, I realized they were not serving me. And that's when I started to really explore intuitive eating. And I realized, I think there's another way because I can't keep doing this. It was about a week before my 40th birthday when I realized I cannot keep doing this. First of all, like I said before, if anybody noticed that I was being kind of weird about food, nobody really said anything because probably they were being weird about food or maybe they didn't notice. But what I noticed was my kids were noticing. Right before my 40th birthday, they would have been 5 and 7 years old. And that was what I call like my peak crazy. I had been on and off counting macros for probably 8 months. I'd also heard it called flexible dieting. And I'm telling you, there is nothing flexible about it. At least for me, it was like trying to slot in a Tetris game, all of my food. It was like, sure, you could conceivably eat anything you wanted, but only if it quote unquote fit. I would get anxious if I hadn't planned all my meals and snacks before breakfast. Whether I was having a good day or not would usually be determined by how precisely I had planned my meals. Because if I hadn't planned them and I was just eating and I was going to have to track them later, it would make me feel like everything was in chaos. Looking back on it now, I'm like, that's insane. I let myself be stressed out about what an app was telling me to eat or not eat. I was weighing and measuring all of my food. My kids were noticing and they were asking me, why are you doing that? I told my kids that I was doing this for my health. And I sort of believed it. I knew that the truth was I was trying to be leaner, but I didn't want to tell them that. I kind of thought, even if I'm critical of my body, maybe I can raise them not to be critical of their bodies. Or I thought, you know, if I was just working hard enough, I wouldn't have to be critical of my body, you know, and then I can love my body and then everything will be great. That's really what I thought. There was a little part of me that was like, maybe I could love my body just the way it is. But the other voice was louder. It was like, no, that would be too hard. It would be easier and it would be better if you could just look the way you wanted to look and then you can be happy. And I didn't realize that was never going to work. Because even when I did get closer to the ideal that I wanted to have, I wasn't happy. I was anxious. I was even more anxious than I'd ever been because I was afraid that I was going to mess it up. Hey, it's Pam with a quick interruption. If you are ready to heal your relationship with food, exercise, your body, if you're ready to stop stressing about the scale, if you're ready to stop trying to shrink your body and have a much, much, much bigger life where you can really be present, I can help you. I am an intuitive eating coach with a background of over 10 years as an occupational therapist. I've also done health and fitness writing for publications including The Washington Post, Self, Runner's World, Bicycling, Outside, The Guardian, Time. And I have also, as you probably know, been on my own journey to heal my relationship with food and body image. If you want to know more about how I can help, check out my website. I'm at pam-moore.com. You can also just scroll down in the show notes. There's a link there. Also, I talk about all this stuff in my bi-weekly newsletter. If you're not already a subscriber, scroll on down in the show notes. Just click on the link to sign up. When you do, you'll get my free download, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. I came to intuitive eating when I was part of this macro plan that I was on. You gradually are eating less and less food. I was getting really, really hungry. The app I was using, it had a chat function and I was chatting with who's ever on the other side of the screen and asking, hey, I'm really hungry. What should I do? Which is like laughable to me now. Like I look back at my old self and I want to be like, you eat. If you're hungry, you eat. That's what you should do. But it wasn't so obvious to me. For real, I do have compassion for old me because I was just doing the best I could. I really was hung up on this goal of having a smaller, leaner body. And so I'm asking this chatbot thing on my laptop, what do I do? And they're telling me, well, are you eating foods high in fiber? And I'm like, damn it, all I've been eating is like cabbage and celery and lettuce. Yes. After a little bit of back and forth with this chatbot thing, now I'm like just waiting. I'm just standing at my laptop. My kids are playing on the floor in the other room and I'm just waiting for an answer. And all of a sudden, it just occurred to me, you're standing here at your laptop waiting for a thing in a screen. Is it even a human? I don't even know what it is. To tell me what to eat? How can it or them or whatever this thing is, how can this chat thing know what I should eat better than I do? Sort of hit me all at once. I live in this body. I get to make decisions about my body. I am done letting an app or a magazine article or a website or a guru or anybody make any more decisions about when I'm going to eat, what I'm going to eat, how much I'm going to eat. I remember thinking, for at least 1 week, I am not counting anything. Immediately, I felt a weight lift. And that's when I started reading about food and eating, and specifically picked up the book Intuitive Eating. You might be familiar with what intuitive eating is, but you might not. You might be where I was 10 years ago, like, oh, that's nice for other people, but I like my rules. But let me tell you what intuitive eating is. And I'm going to start by telling you what it isn't, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions about intuitive eating. Number one, it is not the hunger fullness diet. It's not a diet. It's not any kind of diet. It's not a weight loss plan. It's not necessarily even a way that you're going to lose weight accidentally. I mean, you might, but you also might gain weight, is the truth. And it's not an invitation to eat donuts all day, every day for the rest of your life. But here is what it is. And this is the absolute simplest way I can describe it. I would describe intuitive eating as a way to reconnect with your body's cues to decide when, how much, and what you want to eat. I am in a Facebook group for intuitive eating professionals, and I ask them, how do you, you know, when you meet somebody and they ask, what is intuitive eating? What's kind of your elevator pitch? Of course, it depends who you're talking to, how much time you have, how interested they really seem. Katie McGee says, it's the ability to feel, value, and respond to our own body's natural signals of hunger and satiety, comfortable fullness. It's an internal compass that we are born with, just like our bladder telling us when to pee, how much to pee, and when to stop peeing. Sadly, our internal compass is not trusted by society at large, and we are given external cues of when, what, and how much to eat as we become toddlers, so we don't get to practice and nurture this trust in ourselves. The compass gets broken or wasted and needs a shake-up cue. Intuitive eating. Relearning what nature intended. I love that. That is from Katie McGee. She is an associate professor in child health and nursing, and you can find her on Instagram at Katie_Valentine76. I have another response. I like this one. I love all of these. Most of the time, I think I answer this after someone says, quote, it's eating when you're hungry and not eating when you're full, right? End of quote. To which I usually respond, that is part of it. But intuitive eating is also about tuning out messages we get from the culture, media, friends, family, internalized rules about when, what, how much to eat, and learning to honor what our body wants and needs. Intuitive eating can mean eating when you aren't hungry sometimes because you won't have access to food later, for example. It isn't the hunger fullness diet. I love that. That is from Claire Harper. She's a registered dietitian, and you can find her with at Nourishment Works on Instagram. Another response I got is, intuitive eating is a process of letting go of all the diet and food rules you've been taught and getting back to listening to and responding to your body's needs and wants. It involves a lot of unlearning and reevaluating what's true for you and what feels best for you. That's from Jill Merkel, a registered dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. You can find her on Instagram at Jill Merkel RD, and Merkel is M-E-R-K-E-L. And I love this one. This one is from Melissa Miel Muerte Conray. She's an anti-diet dietitian who says her nutshell answer is, it's the journey back to trusting your body around food and movement. So simple and so true. Intuitive eating is based on the work of Elise Resch and Evelyn Triboli, who are two dietitians who published the first edition of the book Intuitive Eating in 1995. For years, they had been treating their clients by giving them tips on diet and exercise. These people would lose weight, and then they would think, yay, our work together worked, and then these clients would leave, and then they would put the weight back on, and then return to schedule an appointment and say, I failed, what happened, I'm back, I can't do this without your support. They saw this again and again and again and again and realized there had to be a better way. So Elise Resch and Evelyn Triboli, they were pioneers. They came up with intuitive eating, which is not only a more sane way of approaching food and exercise, it's also evidence-based. And the book is now in its fourth edition. When I took the intuitive eating certification course very recently, like in the last 6 months, they said at this point there were 170 studies that support the efficacy of intuitive eating to improve both mental and physical health. And the book, which is called Intuitive Eating, it gets into the science behind intuitive eating, and it really describes how to practice it. There are 10 principles, and I'm going to do a deep dive into each one in future episodes, but for now, I'm just going to list them out for you so you can get a very broad overview of what intuitive eating is. I do want to preface this by saying if you are actively experiencing an acute eating disorder, intuitive eating needs to be on the back burner until you get to a point where you're stable enough to accurately recognize your body's hunger and fullness cues. If you're still in the early stages of recovering from an eating disorder, it's not going to be healthy. It may actually be very harmful because one of the symptoms of starvation is slowed stomach emptying. And as a result, eating the smallest amount of food can make you feel quite full. And so you might eat a small amount of food and say, okay, I'm full. If I'm following the intuitive eating principles, then I should stop eating now. But because your hunger and fullness signals are out of whack at that point, what you really need to focus on is getting to a healthier weight and feeding your body. And that would be with medical supervision, ideally with a team that would include a registered dietitian who is well-versed in eating disorder recovery and might even involve eating on a schedule to get you to the point where you're healthy enough to become an intuitive eater. But first and foremost, you do need to be stable from a medical perspective before you embrace intuitive eating. But if you are stable, and if you are someone who, like many of us, doesn't necessarily have an eating disorder but has disordered eating. And what is disordered eating? We can get into that in another episode. That could be its own episode. But I think it's sufficient to say if you don't like your relationship with food, like if you are realizing that your thoughts, beliefs, and habits around food are not serving you, if you are putting more energy than you want to be putting into deciding when, how much, and what to eat, if that's draining you and not energizing you, right? Food should be joyful. Food should energize you. But with no further ado, the 10 principles of intuitive eating are: 1, reject the diet mentality. 2, honor your hunger. 3, make peace with food. 4, challenge the food police. 5, discover the satisfaction factor. 6, feel your fullness. 7, cope with your emotions with kindness. 8, respect your body. 9, movement, feel the difference. And 10, honor your health with gentle nutrition. And like I said, I'm going to dive into each of those in a subsequent episode. Maybe some of them will get 2 episodes, but that remains to be seen. I'm flying by the seat of my pants here. But the one theme that I think really unites all of these principles is self-compassion. And okay, fine, 2 things, not 1 thing. It's self-compassion and curiosity. That is at the heart of this practice. It's not about doing anything perfectly. It's not about being on the wagon or off the wagon or doing it right or doing it wrong. Here's an example. Instead of saying, oh my God, I ate a whole box of cookies that I wasn't even hungry for just because they were there. I have zero willpower. Like, I am such a failure. What is wrong with me? We've probably all been there. Instead of doing that whole shame spiral thing and like feeling like you're a loser because you ate some cookies or feeling guilty because you ate some cookies, I mean, truly, there's nothing to feel guilty about. When you feel guilty, it's probably because you did something wrong. You hurt somebody's feelings. You made an unethical decision. Like, there's nothing actually wrong. So instead of going there, you might say to yourself, I kept eating those cookies way after the point where I was satisfied. I wonder why I did that. And I wonder how I could avoid it in the future because I feel really bloated and tired right now and I really don't like feeling this way. And those are two, like, you did the same thing. You ate more cookies than you really wanted to eat. But those situations are different because in the first one, you approached it with criticism. But in the second one, you approached it more with curiosity. So there's really no judgment in intuitive eating. It's all curiosity, which I can totally get behind. Obviously, I'm an intuitive eater. I'm an intuitive eating coach. Intuitive eating literally changed my life. And that is why I'm talking about it so much. When I let go of all my food rules, I expected that my life would change in terms of the way I ate. And it did. But what I did not expect was how much things also shifted in other areas of my life. It turned out tuning into what I wanted to eat, practicing that skill of asking myself, what do I want 5 times a day? Not what should I have, rather what do I want to have? Those are 2 very different questions. What should I have is looking outside of myself for the answer. What do I want to have is asking me. getting that practice 5 times a day absolutely spilled out into other areas of my life and allowed me to get so much more deeply and quickly in touch with what I truly wanted outside of meals and snacks. I became a health and fitness writer very shortly after I became an intuitive eater. And I really don't think that's a coincidence. That was something that I wanted it so much and thought it was so out of reach that I didn't even think to wish for it. If 10 years ago me could see me now doing the same type of work as Charlotte Hilton Anderson, the journalist who was like the first person to plant the seed of intuitive eating in my mind, 10 years ago me would be jumping up and down and high-fiving me like crazy. I really feel like I am getting to write about what I love and what inspires me and share that with national audiences. Partly, a big part, because of intuitive eating. So if you're into intuitive eating, if you want to hear more, you want to learn more, you are in luck. I am going to keep on interviewing fabulous women athletes as I normally do. But like I mentioned before, my next bunch of solo episodes are going to go deep into the science and principles of intuitive eating. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you sticking with me till the end. If you liked what you heard, it would mean so much to me if you haven't already, if you would rate this podcast, give it a nice review, follow it, subscribe. And if you listen on Spotify, or even if you don't, you can now rate podcasts on Spotify, which is a relatively new thing. If you've done all those things already, I'm sending you a huge virtual hug. You can also support the show by telling a friend, text them a link to the episode, or post it on social media. And don't forget to tag me. My Instagram handle is at Pam Moore 303. And on Twitter, I am at Pam Moore Writer. A shout out means so much to me. Additionally, if you are feeling like you are ready to change your relationship with food and your body and exercise, and you want to make space for the things in your life that really, really matter, I can help you. I am an occupational therapist with a certification as an intuitive eating coach, and it would be my pleasure to help you clear away all the mental clutter that comes with trying to manipulate the shape and size of your body. So you can get all the information you need on that on my website, pam-moore.com. Again, that's pam-moore.com. And if you would like my free guide, it's called 11 Things You Can Do Right Now to Feel Better About Your Body. You can get that on my website too. When you sign up for my newsletter at pam-moore.com, you're going to get that free gift. And the newsletter comes, it's only every other week, and it's always a juicy tidbit, something pertaining to self-love, self-compassion, self-acceptance, intuitive eating, all that good stuff, and some links to the best things I have found, usually pertaining to those topics. Occasionally there's an outlier, but it's all good stuff, and I try to keep it super short, and that lands in inboxes every other Tuesday. Again, thank you so much for being here. Till next time, keep it real.